Bash alone.
He gotta send the request.
Okay.
You gotta mirror it.
Do it again.
Oh, refresh.
Picking it.
Sister Randy can't hear. You iPad.
Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat shalom.
Man, I tell you what. I just want to start off by saying how good Yah is. Because I almost wasn't going to be here tonight. You go through these, others have jobs. We go through these weeks to where, especially like we're doing over them. At any given moment, you're late. And it's kind of been one of them weeks. And yesterday I was told that you're not going to be here. So I had to send a text out this morning. Let me tell you, when I got to the boat this morning, that really bothered me. Even the enemy will use that. Because it's been about a month, pretty close to a month since I've been here, on my turn to teach and speak. And I'm like, man, I really don't want to miss my turn. I'm getting to the point where when my turn comes up, I want to give him my all. So ain't nothing the enemy will use that. And let me tell you, it really bothered me last night on the way home and this morning. I was praying this, Yah on the tugboat, I get my little quiet time and like, Yah, I really don't want to miss my turn. I know we got a lot of stuff, we're busy here, but I don't want to miss my turn. Let me tell you, it started off a little rough. But this is why we're here, to learn about character, because his name represents his character. So you have to kind of remind me of that. Slow down, be cool, and get back to work. And look, needless to say, I was on my way out of heaven by 4:00. So Yah is faithful. You really ask him something, he sees you, especially after spending time with him every day. I put this together since the very first time we got on Shabbat. And the very first time I talked about it, we kind of flew through it. But then Pastor got up that Shabbat morning and he talked about how Shemot really means about name. We went through because we were looking at the Exodus side of it. We wasn't focused on the name. So tonight we're going to talk about name, about his name, and by the name of his son. But I want to start off with this right here. Because how you know we just because of the information out there, if we don't take time to really look at it and see what it's saying, how you know we miss stuff? I don't know about you, but my education, I don't have the best education, but I know how to go look at stuff. When words don't mean something, I got to go look it up. I got to see what it means. So we know that Shemot is Hebrew for names. Turn me down just a little bit. And its primitive root, perhaps, let me just read the definition to you. It's from H8034, a primitive root, perhaps rather from H7760, through the idea of definite and conspicuous position, compared 8864 and affiliation as a mark or memorial of individual, by implication, honor, authority, character, base, frame, name, renown, report. But what is this through the idea of definite, conspicuous position? What is that? So we read this stuff, but do we really take time to pay attention? Or what about the word affiliation? So Yah really, after that message, talking about names, I had to go back and redo my thinking and really put this back together again. Now some stuff is going to be repetitive, because I kind of spoke it a little bit when we had the Friends and Family Day. But I had to go back and reread this and really dive in and get my thinking straight on this definition of that. concept or document is located in a prominent spot designed to command attention and ensure immediate recognition. That's what I said. Recognition. You don't think this commands attention? We got to slow down. Like I said, look at the definition. So this is the stuff I wanted to point out. I shared this with Brother Rock. I knew he wasn't going to be here. I said, how do you like this one, little kid? Brother, I like it. I don't know. He's out. His own words. I don't even know what that meant. What about affiliation? Is a formal name, title, or designation used to identify person, place, or thing. It refers to a descriptive moniker rather than an official birth name. An official moniker? What is that? See, that's what I'm saying. This is what I like to do. This is why Hibachi. I'm here to break it down. I'm going to show you how this all matches. This prominent spot, this locate, because in name, they're going to talk about it. In the definition, we're going to go a little further down. In Shem, we're going to talk about this. In the ancient Hebrew, we talk about a designation. And to ensure, we want to ensure, you know, immediate recognition. We don't give them all the recognition. Look, on my way here, I was thinking about a song. I don't know what song, you know, just popped in my head. My Hallelujah. I couldn't get it out of my head driving over here. And this is all week, you know, because wow, we're bombarded all week, but today, let me tell you, I did not want to miss at all. He knew this. I spent so much time this week just diving into this. It really bothered me. I wanna recognize, give him all the recognition that he deserves. All the honor, all the glory. A descriptive monker or a descriptive nickname. Or name is an identifying title or label that highlights a specific trait. Does he have a specific trait? Characteristic or profession of a person, place, or thing. It is frequently used in a place of an official name to paint a clearer picture of the subject's defining qualities. Man, he's everything we need to know about, we have in the scripture. But he had to open up our understanding. We can't explain him. He explains himself very well. It paints a clear picture when we sit down and dive into his word and really want to spend time with him. He takes notice of that. Does he have an identifying title or descriptive name? He's known by many names that we know. We know him by his true name, but we know him as Yehovah Nisi. All the songs that we sing, that he has so many attributes. That's why he's Elohim. And we're gonna get on that in a minute. So let's look at the Brown-Giles Bridge definition. Name, reputation, fame, glory, the name as designation of Yah. See, so it matches what, if we read the beginning part, it'll explain all this to us. I know it sounds like a lot, but you gotta just bear with it. It's just, Yah is, he is a lot. We're talking about the creator of the world, the universe, whatever you want to call it. He is all that. But yet, we sing this song, he has the whole world in his hand. We sing this song when we were young people coming up. He's got the whole world in his hand, but yet he lives inside our heart. And to me, that's amazing. We just don't understand. Well, we're doing, this is why we're breaking it down the best that we can to understand. His breath, this is something we talked about in the ancient Hebrew. It talks about the breath of respect, the character, the wind or breath of someone or something is his character. Now we talked about that in Friend of the Family Day. I mentioned that. When we breathe his character. Our frame, I showed you that my last time with him, our frame is built. Our bone structure is built to spell his name. So what are we acting like? Are we children of his? Are we saved or we're not? Because the character is going to tell. Like I said, like this morning, when I started off at work, it started off a little shaky. I got to remember my character, who I'm representing. Why am I here? What is the reason? Then I go along, you're going to catch on what I'm talking about. This is just the start of it. The breath of man is character. What makes one what he is. Every time we open our eyes, every time we take a breath, especially when you come out of sleep, mention that a little bit because the Im. You know, he we ain't gonna say he's God's, but because of his attributes, what he possesses, it makes him God of all gods. It's the Im part, but in the plurality. So you had the kind of like the verb that brings the noun, a masculine noun out of him, but he's sole all verb and action. I'm doing the best I can. But look, only the place of wind here, only use a masculine plural form, mims or nims in Aramaic. See, little simple things like that. Do we I overlook, and I apologize when I do my due diligence last time. But what are mims and nims? A sweet aroma that is carried when the wind of breath. In Ephesians 2, he talked about a ruler of the air. You know? Remember, we know Yah is ultimately in control. We said we breathe the camp, but what are we acting like? We're acting like the ruler of the air? The one, because why? He said in Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in trespasses and sin. Remember where we come from. And you, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, the course of this world. I don't know about you, but I did. This spoke all to me, this is me right here. According to the ruler of the authority of the air. Even though I was breathing God's character, I didn't realize who I was. Because I was operating under a different influence. Of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Let me tell you something. That's the true thing that's happening right now. I don't know how. Look, you see a lot of stuff on Facebook and the news and all. And on my news feed, I kind of believe my news feed a little bit because they kind of accurate. But it was showing today, last night, I don't follow basketball, but the Knicks game is on. And they come back, because it was all over the news, they come back a big win because they were down 21 points going into the third or fourth quarter. They come back and won the game. The crowd erupted. Sons of disobedience. They were going crazy up there in New York. They showed one video, they were thrashing the store. They walked in like a little burger joint, they were throwing chairs, fighting. I mean, they're breathing out character, but they operate under different influence. Amongst whom also we all once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, as also the rest. That's the condition we were in. We were oxygen thieves. I use that a lot in the word. You remember the oxygen thieves. That's what we were doing. We were stealing out of there. Because he's the one created it. And that's what we were doing. We were stealing his stuff. And what's one of the commandments? Thou shalt not steal. We were stealing his air. But Elohim, man, that right there ought to excite you, who is rich in compassion because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. Made us alive together with Messiah. By favor, you have been saved. I'm sure it's impossible to turn back and want to go back. Even the desire, that only crossed my mind. But I'm telling you, I was so unnerved, unsettled by not being here tonight because I really wanted to deliver this. It's like I've been sitting on this, I've been waiting on it. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies. In Messiah Yeshua, in order to show in the coming age the exceeding riches of his favor and kindness toward us in Messiah Yeshua. For by favor you have been saved through belief, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of Elohim. You know, salvation came as a gift. It was free to whoever will, but it comes with a price. The price is to turn, not to shoe. Turn from you, directing you, but test you around and turn back to the source. You got to make a whole 360. The whole life has to change. And we have to look at him first. We have to know his name, Shem. How did this come about? I'm glad, you know, Pastor went back and talked about this because it really opened up my mind to say, you know what, I missed it. But that, of course, that comes with a little wisdom and time and age. But when you're doing it, when you're practicing doing this for 40 years, you age. So I'm glad for that. That really helped me out. For it's not by works, so that no one should boast. If that were the case, if it was by works, man, I tell you, ain't none of us would have to be here. We're all glad. unto good works, which all he prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. We all have a job to do. And don't think because you're up in age, the scripture says when Joshua was old and stricken in age, he said, he was in his 80s, he said, get up, Joshua, there's still more land to conquer. So just because some of us is up in age, the gray head, the white headed in there, there's still more land to conquer. You know when God's done with you? When we got you in here in a box and they swallowed around you, you won't know about it. But that's when you're done. But until then, you're breathing, you know what that job will do. But I gave you the definition of workmanship. Refers to the degree of skill, care, quality put into a task or project. I'm telling you, that's work. That's a lot. I can say a lot on that. It describes both the manner of dexterity or expertise used to create something the process and the overall standing of the finished physical product or service, the result. Let me tell you something. This is the result of why I'm here tonight, because I asked you to. Let me tell you, that's always more stuff to add. Because you never finish with God's word. Not none of us. That's why when time comes, we live on when the toy teaches himself or something, there's gonna be no need for his iPad. At least I want to work a copy and paste in the morning. He's gonna teach us all things. There won't be watered down. You're going to get pure milk of the word, pure meat of the word, however you want to describe it. But you're going to get uncut man. The manner of dexterity is the ability to use your hands and fingers skillfully to perform process, coordinated movements. It requires excellent eye-hand coordination and is essential for manipulating small objects quickly and easily. Let me tell you something. I was kind of thinking about this right here, this man's dexterity, because some of the stuff I had in here, it's not all copy and pasting. I got a keyboard that goes with this iPad, so I've been learning how to type. Now, I'm not the best or fast at it, but I'm learning how to. Once you learn the keys, I see that, you know, the trick is to learn the keys. So I'm practicing with these fingers. A lot of times I tell myself to do it, but a lot of times I'm trying to practice. So this is what it's talking about. But it's all in here. We're doing it for him, for the master. That's the reason why the drive the man want to do this. Because years ago, I would have said, I ain't got time for that. Now I have time. I want to have time for this. And I don't want to miss my time. This is a little something I added in. In Hebrews 8:1. Now the summary of what we are saying is, we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the greatness in the heavens, and who serves in the set apart place and of the true tent which Jehovah set up and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and slaughters, for it was necessary for this one to have somewhat to offer. For if indeed he were here, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the Torah, who serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly, as Moshe, who warned when he was about to make the tent, for he said, see that you make all according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. That's down the line, we're going to get to that. But now he has obtained a more excellent service, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was constituted on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. For finding fault with them, not with his word, but with them, he says, see, the days are coming, says Jehovah, when I shall conclude with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda a renewed covenant. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Mizraim, because they did not continue in my covenant, I disregarded them, says Jehovah. Because this is the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, says Jehovah, giving them my laws in their mind. That's new. And I shall write it my people, and this is the key verse here, and they shall by no means teach one another, his neighbor, and each one to his brother, saying, know Yehovah. Know who? I'm talking about the name here. Know Yehovah, because they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. We're going to know him. We need to know his name. We need to know all his attributes as much as we can, as much as our little brain is going to allow us. But spending time with him, you're going to learn a lot about our master, our creator. He says, because I shall forgive their unrighteousness and their sin and their lawlessness, I shall no longer remember. Now there's three things right here, three different categories he just gave to us. What, that goes to show how good he is toward us. Your unrighteousness, your sin, and your lawlessness. We know what these things are. Let me just give you a little definition. Three violations the Father is forgiving you or slash me. Number one is unrighteousness, adikia. These are all from the Greek. And I tell you what, they got a really good definition here too. It's from G94, legal injustice, properly the quality, by implication, to act, moral wrongfulness of character, life or act, iniquity, unjust, unrighteousness, wrong. Now the Brown Driver's Bridge gives you injustice of a judge. Every one of these definitions that you read points to a story. Injustice of a judge, all you got to do is go read the gospel. They talk about an unjust judge. Who taught that? Our master. I didn't put it in there, because if I put that in there, we're really going to be here a long time. Unrighteousness of the heart. This is what the first definition of unrighteousness. Of the heart and life. A deed violating law and justice, act of unrighteousness. We were in that category. What about sin? The Greek is hamartia, has dealing with the heart. It's properly sin, probably the abstract offense, sin, but the Brown Driver Drink is to be without a share in, to miss the mark. How terrible is that? That is. I think Moshe felt after that one act, when he did that one act of disobedience, when he was told to speak to the rock, he struck the rock, and because of that, he couldn't enter into the land. God showed him the good land, but he couldn't enter. How he felt? That one act. So people think today that, because I do one of those, he's going to forget, he's not going to put me in the kingdom. I wouldn't bet on that. He says so. We got to pay attention to his word. Mr. Mark, to err, be mistaken, to miss or wander from the path of uprightness, and honor, uprightness and honor, to do or go wrong, to wander from the law of Yah. Violate God's law. Sin. This is what sin is. When we violate God's law, it's sin. That which is done wrong, sin, an offense, a violation of the divine law in thought or in act. What the matter said? If you even think it. I'm just saying. This is why, man. Yeah, after that message that Shabbat, I was about to go back and redo this. Go back and relook at all this. And spend time. Collectively, the complex or aggregate of sins committed by either a single person or by many. Does it matter if you're in the group? If you're with the group, you're probably going to follow the group. Lawlessness. Anemia. Anemia. It's G459. From G459, illegality, that is violation of law or generally wickedness, iniquity, transgression. The Brown Valley is the condition of being without law. I mean, today, you look at some of these places, it looks like there's no law. We can look at it here, in our hometown. We don't have to go look at elsewhere. Let's go up here. Because ignorant of it. Yes. I don't think we were ignorant of it. Some things we know better. Because of violating, contempt and violation of iniquity and law, iniquity and wickedness. You can see that these things, we operate in any of these factors, you miss his name, because his name don't represent this stuff. has made the first old, now what becomes old and growing age is near disappearing. Note every breath you take as follow the master, we are breathing his character. This is what we were talking about. The breath that we breathe every day is his character. In Hebrews 12:7, there's something else I share with y'all. If you're enduring discipline, Elohim is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? I know for the first thing, I have to go back and redo this. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become sharers, you are illegitimate and not sons. And I shared that with y'all, what was illegitimate, something that's contrary. Pretty much the definition I just read to you. Two, are not authorized by law, rule, or accepted principles. Illegitimate sons or daughters are persons born to parents who were not legally married, to either at the time of a child's conception or birth. That was me. Literally. That's me, illegitimate. How you know? Well, when you come to the family of God and he tests you out and you start walking his direction, you become, the next verse, legitimate. Means being in accordance with the law, established rules, or recognized standard. He doesn't see you as that. He sees you as family. He brings you in, and then he has to train you. I have to take some little training because we still got that wild olive branch that's still down there that's still connected to some root. But then, you know, he prunes. He takes care of that in time. Describe that standard. It describes something that is genuine, authentic, and legally justified rather than fake or unauthorized. We don't want to be fake or unauthorized. I mean, that's, we don't want to put on a happy faith or Shabbat faith and forget what, and like James said, we don't want to forget what man or male after look in the mirror and forget who he was. We don't want to be fake. Moreover, we indeed had fathers of our flesh disciplining us, and we paid them respects. Shall we not much rather to be subject to the Father's Spirit than live? Why we now live, we live unto him. All our stuff is pushed on the side. Had a guy after the day, he said, man, how's your life now with these kids? I said, our life's on hold right now because of them. Let me tell you, I ain't mad either. In Galatians 4:4, but when the completion of time came, Elohim sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under Torah, to redeem those who are under Torah in order to receive the adoption as sons. Now, that just explained everything. Because when people say, well, I ain't under the law, well, I'll tell you what. Shaul shouldn't have put Galatians 4:5 here. So don't let nobody try to think, well, I ain't born in the Torah. That's what it's saying right here. And because you are sons, Elohim has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And as a son, and also an heir of Elohim, through Messiah. So we have a lot in Shemot that we just scratching the surface on this. We have so much to live for. But let me get back to what are mems and nems? Do my best to explain this. They are not independent words. Instead, they refer to the plural suffixes ha-im, how we get the Elohim, and in. They are used to make masculine noun and some verb plural. That's how I want to say it. So I can say, because we did the im is plural, but he's singular, but he's masculine. But he has all these attributes that make him who he is. If that makes any sense. But we had to be just as dope. In Aramaic dialects, this is an example. Water is traditionally treated grammatically, that's what I said, as a plural word, sharing linguistic roots with Hebrew word mayim. In Aramaic, exact word and punctuation for water depends on the historical period and dialect. The most common and widely used term is maya. You got the YA instead of the IN. But I'm going to get to that. just hold tight, don't rush me. In our English dialect, this is what we call synonyms. Words that are spelled differently, but have the same meaning. Our master, Yeshua, said, do not think, this is the common version he uses a lot. He said, do not think that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophet. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. For truly I say to you, to heaven and earth, and the earth pass away, one yod, or one tittle, shall by no means pass in the Torah, shall all be done. What are the yod and the tittle? The little fine detail in the writing. So this is what this mems and nems are. So let me give you a better example. Elohim and Elohim. Elohim is the Aramaic way. We say Elohim, but they're the same. In Daniel 2:47, the sovereign answered Daniel and said, we had this last week, truly your Eloh is the Eloh of Elohim. It's the God of the gods. The aim. The master of sovereign and the revealer of secret, since you were able to reveal the secret. Remember, we had that last week. I'm glad we did, because it made me a little tired. I can go add it in there. But in Shemot 3:14, and Elohim said to Moshe, I am that which I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me. Look at the footnote. The Hebrew read Ayeh, Asher Ayeh. The word Ayeh being derived from Hayah, which means to be, it exists. But the Aramaic text read Ayeh, Asher Ayeh. Same. It's just different language. So this is what the Im and I am. So now you know a little something about Aramaic. It's so close that whenever I did the, which I can open up a little wider, I don't know how. When I color coded it, because it's so close, one I got a little darker blue, one that's a little bit lighter blue. But that's how close it is. That's why I wanted to show you all this. You see that I'm not making it up. It's all stuff you can go back and do. But because he. Masculine in the noun said, but plurality, this is who he is.
Yeah.
He has to fit, remember, he has to fit male and female. We're going to see this a little bit. So he's masculine, we see his feminine side, we see his anger side, we see his whatever side you want, he's going to describe himself. So the question is, what is Yah's character like? Well, in Bereshit 1:1 to Malachi 4:6, and all the answers we need to know about our Creator. Everything we need to know about is in there. And then he's gracious so much, he put our master in there. And then our master says, right here, so what I did today and yesterday, I went back and highlighted, color-coded, just so you know who's doing the speaking. So people get lost in translation. So the red is Yeshua, blue is Yehovah, and I've got another color here, purple, that'd be you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Yeshua said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father too. From now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Master, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Yeshua said to him, have I been with you so long, and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak from myself, but the Father who stays in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the works themselves. Your works going to tell what the heritage you've been, what character you operating under. What spirit you operating under. Mm-hmm. Your character will tell. And not up in here. It's when you challenge out there.
Mm-hmm.
Out there is where the fight's at. In here, we're comfortable. The AC's cool. I'm barely even sweating because I'm so cool. But you still feel the burn. But your work is going to prove. It's going to show your character. Whether you represent him very well, or you say you represent him with your faith. Think about that. So truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me The work that I do, he shall do also. And greater work than thee, he shall do because I go to my Father. And whatever you have in my name, we're talking about name here, that I shall do in order that the Father might be esteemed in the Son. If you ask whatever in my name, I shall do it. But remember what we can't ask greedily. We can't ask because to do our own pleasure with it. Because today is not a day of just speaking my own word or doing my own pleasure. Then today is operating under his authority, under his name, and how we represent ourselves. So the word name here in the Greek is G3686 is onoma. From a presumed derivative of the base of G1097 compared to G3685, a name literally or figuratively, authority, character, called surname. And this is, I love these definitions in the Greek, because it's really going to point to our master, going to point to our creator. And this is one we had already before. It's Gnosko, G1097. It's to learn to know, come to get a knowledge or perceive, feel. This is, why else are we here? It's to know, to learn. Because if we knew all this already, without having spoken it, there's no sense of being here. I didn't need to speak. I could have been on my way to pick up my wife. It was already set up. I could have skipped on out. But man, I wanted to see the scene. How we need to learn. We come here to know. We come into the yeshiva to what? Yeshiva. To sit and learn.
Yeshiva.
Listen. It also means to become known. How are you going to know? One, to know by your name. To know, understand, perceive, have knowledge of. To understand, to know, sexual intercourse between man and woman, that's why you got the blue and pink, or to become acquainted with, to know. That's how much he wants us to know. When you come into your bedchamber, you and your wife or your husband, that's how close he wants to be with you. Why? He is the husband. He's coming back for a bride. What he's looking for. He's trying to put the bride together, the church world, the bride together to what? Not to have sexual intercourse, but to know you. Because we need to be known by him. Now, if you don't want to be known by him, then what are you doing here? Why are we wasting our time? Why are we using his name? We're breaking one of the commandments because we lying on him. That's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. When you take you using his name in vain, that's what we're doing. We're lying on him. That's how you become faith. And I'm convinced the church world has compromised that way. All you got to do is just, because I know a lot of church folk. And I see the way they operate compared to what we're learning. And not because we're better, because God has us right here in this spot to mm-hmm. know him, mm-hmm. to know his name. I don't want to wake up one day and find out that I've missed out, like the definition said, to lose out. I don't want to know about wasting my time. Right? That's one thing when I was praying this morning, I don't want to feel like I wasted my time putting all this time to study and I would and to miss my turn. I'm saying, it bothered me. G36, the second one, 3685, onoma, is name, universal of proper names. The name that is used for everything. You know what I'm saying? You can find his name on everything. I told a buddy of mine, I said, look, you not in the pattern? I said, if you get stopped by the cop, just tell him my name. I said, help you out. I only work for a dungeon. That's it. And then now, when you cop, my name don't go to that far anymore. But back in the day, when some of the cops are really doing on the floor, they look, you can use my name on the body. Now I'm using it now.
Yeah.
They would go, you know they got me. So we put you in your crew, come on. That's what happens when we slam our name so bad. Now you want to renew your name, give you a new name. I'm so thankful. Thank you. Well, we call to work together. I love it. The name that is used for everything, which the name covers, everything the thought or feeling of which is aroused in the mind by mentioning, hearing, remembering the name. You'll never forget the name. Once you get it, once we got it implanted up, it's the name we speak. Now, we got other brothers that speak differently. Look, I'm not bothered by that. Over here, I'm going to use his name. And I'm going to use it for everything when it's fitting. I.e., equal one's rank, authority, interest, pleasure, command, excellences, deeds, etc. Three persons reckoned by the name, the cause, number four, the cause of reason, name on this account because he suffered as a Christian for this reason. He tell you something. When you start following his name and doing things his way, what he likes, following his feast day, honoring his Shabbat, let me tell you something. You kind of get pushed out a little bit. You ain't the favorite son or favorite daughter at home no more. And maybe you are. I can tell you, I am. You ain't the favorite friend no more. You're still friends, but you're not that kind of friend. Because why? Wow, now you walk a different path. Before, the world loves it, don't they? You know, if you compromise them, they'll love you. Yeah, but then you slander his name because you're not standing for truth. So what is the name of Yeshua's father? In Exodus 3:12, and he said, no, that he said, because I am with you. Who have we heard that before? And this is to you the sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Mitzrayim, you are to serve Elohim on this mountain. And Moshe said to Elohim, see, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the Elohim of your father has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? What do you say to, when you're out there? When they, if anybody asks, what are we going to say? And Elohim said to Moshe, I am that which I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And there it is again. I gave you a word. Like I said, Aramaic, because when you read some of these books, you read Daniel, we read in English now, but let me tell you, they were in Babylon. They were exiled. Until they got returned home. I watched a good video today. I sent it to Brother Chad. A real good video. Somebody always talked about it, you know, about the script, about the prophet, how they got exiled, and they were allowed to come back under Cyrus. It was a great video. Great information on there. Ayah, Asher, Ayah. The Aramaic. So you say you don't speak another language? You just did. Well, you just practice.
Hallelujah.
Strong, H3068. Yehovah. This is what we say. This is what the name we use for everything. The start, is it? So how important is Shemot that we're getting into? There it is. That's where we start, right there. His name, the self-existent or eternal, existing one, the proper name, we're talking about the proper name of the true Elohim. Next question is Jehovah your father? Our master Yeshua said in Matthew 6:5, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. This is what he said. You got to pray into our master's word. This is kind of like strong, you know. He don't tell you to go call him hypocrite. He said, but just don't be like, he already called him. So we don't have to call him. But if you do, be prepared. For they love to pray standing in the congregation and in the corners of the street to be seen by men. This is what they do. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And having shut your door, pray to your father who is in the secret place. Remember the one definitely Shem? The destination? It ties in. And your father who sees in the secret place, in the secret, shall reward you openly. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling. Vain repetition, King James puts out there. But college good. I had to work on that one. I know I butchered that one a little bit. Like the nations. For they think they shall be heard for their many words. That's just, you talk about repetitive stuff, that word that had no meaning. This is what that means in the Greek. For they think they shall be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is the way you should pray. Our Father. Is He your Father? Is that the way we're praying? Our Father, who is in the heaven, let your name be set apart. Or hallowed be your name. How do you want to say it? Doesn't matter the translation. Listen to what his thought comes up. His name is set apart. So when we got on here in Shemotis, I'm telling you, I had to go back, hit the brakes, and rewind myself and rethink all this and go back and work on me. Let your reign come. Let your desire be done on earth as it is in the heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Let me tell you something. I need his daily bread every day. Not today and I skip tomorrow. I need it every day. Mm-hmm. Why? But today, I ate the bread today. I need something tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm that beggar that's knocking. Hey, I need my bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay, that's a condition. And do not lead us into trial, but deliver us from the wicked one. Because yours is the reign and the power and the esteem forever. Amen.
Amen.
He said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father shall also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither shall your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. Well, we got a dilemma here. We say he's our Father, but he's not going to forgive us? That's the issue right here. We better check ourselves. We better go back and rethink our daily lives there when we're out there. You know, how's our character, our breath? It trespasses. It's G3900. Our Atema. It's from G3895. It's sidestep. Lapse or deviation. That is unintentional, error, or willful transgression. Sometimes you have accidents. He said, if you sin, you have an advocate. What do? When we sin, we learn, and we shoot. We turn from that. We don't continue right there and keep on sinning. We have to turn from that. Fall, offense, sin. We know people that did these things. I'm one of them. I'm one of the speakers in that. I'm telling them myself. To fall beside or near something, a lapse or deviation from truth and uprightness. One thing we don't want to do is deviate from truth. Once you start deviating from truth, you know what comes? Compromise. Once you get a little compromise, a little leaven, it does what? Leaven over the lump. Then you know you just, it's okay. Who is Yeshua? Now we have a record of his name. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's something I want to point out here. So in Matthew 1:1-4, we read about his line. But this 1:4, there's one name that sticks out. What's the name? Solomon. How many of you know who Solomon is?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody? He's the husband, the lady with the scarlet in the window. Rahab, I'm sorry, Mary. You think, see, I just got a brain freeze, I'm sorry. He's a husband. And how many of you know he's important?
Uh-oh. I was about to tell you.
How many of you know he's important?
There you go. Solomon.
He's the husband to Rahab. I'm sorry. I appreciate it a lot. Sometimes
that's
we don't
right.
Really help.
That's right.
But he's not mentioned a whole lot. You don't read a whole lot about him. Mm-hmm. But you know, he without him, there'd be no Boaz. Solomon means garment.
So Rahab settled down.
He's the father of Boaz, father-in-law of Ruth, the grandfather of Galeen, Salma. So we don't read about him a whole lot because we don't deem this book. We go straight to the harlot. How you know? His name matters. They know, you don't read many people want to take harlots in the scriptures, but you know that they out there. Salma is a key figure in biblical genealogy, best known as the husband of Rahab and the father of Boaz. Through his son, Boaz, he is the patrilineal great-great-grandfather of King David, making him an ancestor of Yeshua Messiah listed in the Gospels. His biblical details include lineage. He was the son of Nashon, a prominent leader in the tribe of Yehuda during the Exodus. In Father traveled with Moshe, Salmon was likely part of the generation that wandered the wilderness and later conquered the promised land with Yehoshua. So he probably was a young man, just a boy. Remember when they were going around the mountain, that generation had to die off. Here he is. Mm-hmm. Why? We know he entered the promised land because he took Rahab.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, sir. I just wanted to point his name out. He is referenced in the Tanakh, in the book of Ruth 4:20 and 21, 1 Chronicles 2:11, and in the Brit Hadashah with the genealogy of Yeshua in Matthew 1:4-5 and Luke 3:32. His name is mentioned, but he kind of gets overlooked. So I just wanted to point his name out to you tonight because, like I said, we focus on Rahab, the spies, and all, we overlook. He had to take this woman. And not many of us can say, well, I'm going to take Barbara. And you know that Hosea had to.
So.
And what happened? He left her. She and God said, where'd he go? Go back to the field. Not his wife, my
God.
We can preach that message all over us again. Huh? I love that little boat. That's my boat. It brings you right back to that. And Salmon brought forth Boaz in Matthew 1:5 by Rahab. And Boaz brought forth Obed by Ruth. And Obed brought forth Ishai. I want to show you about his name. It matters. Even though it might be small, it might be written a whole lot, his name matters.
Mm-mm-mm.
If you keep going, scroll with me down to Matthew 1:21. And she shall give birth to a son. He shall call his name Yeshua. For he shall save his people from their sins. As I was looking at that, I was putting his Hebrew name together. And I can tell you, his name is wonderful. And we all now, you don't hear, unless we're studying, you don't hear this name come up a whole lot. Well, you know what? We should not be ashamed of this name. Because we need this name, and I'm going to show you the reason why.
Hallelujah.
And this came to be, verse 20, in Matthew 1:22, and this came to be in order to fulfill what was spoken by Yehovah through the prophet, saying, see, the Almah shall conceive, and she shall give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So how many attributes is that? See the difference? We're still talking about the same person, which is translated El with us. Verse 25 says, but he knew her not, until she gave birth to her son, the firstborn, and he called his name Yeshua. We have this account also in Luke 1:31, and see, you shall conceive in your womb, and shall give birth to a son, and shall call his name Yeshua. So two important names in the Bible. If you learn anything tonight, Yehovah and Yeshua. Two most important names we need. Not be ashamed of. Now when you go to the Greek, you go to Zeus, I can promise you, it goes back to Yeshua, Yehoshua. You're going to go through a whole line. You want to look through all that. And it's all because of the English, the dialect, and everything you pass through. You mean in the brown dialect, Yehovah is salvation. Or Yehovah is salvation. The difference comes down to linguistic evolution and translation rather than the original name meaning. So how important, this is what I've been waiting to get here. How important is the name Yeshua? For starters, I mean, his name is mentioned 975 times in the Brit Hadashah. You think it's important? In Acts 4:1, and as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the set apart place and the Sadducees came upon them. Look at these group of people. Being annoyed because they taught the people and announced the resurrection from the dead in Yeshua. And they arrested them. Let me tell you something. Someday, it hadn't hit us yet. Who's to say this ain't coming? They did it back then. And we say history repeats itself. Be prepared. Just saying. And put them in jail until the next day, for it was already and their elders and scribes assembled in Jerusalem, as well as Hananiah the high priest, and Caiaphas, and Johanan, and Alexander, and as many as were of the high priestly descent. All faith, by the way. And having placed them in the middle, they asked, by what power or in what name do you do this? What name do we do this in? That's a great question. What name do we operate in every day we go out into the battlefield?
That's right.
You think we need to know the name, how important it is? Then Kepha, filled with the set apart spirit. Let me just pause here for a second.
This is gonna be good.
There's two books came today. Y'all might have seen it on Facebook. I couldn't help but posting it. Because one of the books was named Spirit, and that one was named Redeemer. I took a screenshot of that. I posted it on Facebook, and I said to Brother Dan, I said, having the right spirit, you have the Redeemer. I said, boy, I said it to Brother Dan, he said, that's just a way of God reminding us. And I was so pretty just to see that. You know, but you don't see that on too many boats like that. But, and fitting side by side. I said, I thought this was all. So now, his chapter being filled with the set apart spirit. And it just brought me back to that. To me, I thought it was amazing. So, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if today we are called to the count of a good deed toward a sick man by whom he has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that in the name of Yeshua Messiah of Nazareth, whom you impaled, whom Elohim, or Jehovah, we can put our own translation right there, raised from the dead, by him this one stands before you healthy. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
You want to pull a measurement? Pull a measurement to his name. Match ourselves when we have to match to his name. Because our character has got to match his name. Like I said, when we bring character, if we bring him down, we're operating under his character, we should represent his name well.
Amen.
Are we doing that?
Hallelujah.
And there is no deliverance. How important is the name? Look at verse 12. I put it in red so you can see what I like. And there is no deliverance in anyone else. I don't care where you go. What you doing? There's no deliverance in anywhere else. For there is no other name under the heaven given among men by which we need to be saved.
Amen.
Let me read that again. That's worth reading a second time. And there is no deliverance anywhere else.
Yeah.
Does it matter? Does it matter what sect you belong to? Does it matter what state you live in? There's no deliverance under anywhere else. For there is no other name. I wonder what that name is. Under the heaven, given among men, where? From heaven on down. I've never been to the hell. I've been in the clouds before. That might be one of the heavens. I know the heavens reach much higher. Given among men by which we need to be saved. Not might be saved. You need to be saved under that name. If not, you're not saved. I'm sorry. If not, we've got to take this verse 12 out of the book. I hope this blessing you tonight. This is why we start off with name. That's why it's simple. We need to know the name.
Yeah.
Not just the name of the children of Israel. We need to know our name of our Father. And the one that watches over us, the one that has intercession, makes intercession. Because we don't know how to pray sometimes. He makes intercession for us.
Mm-hmm.
And by the set apart spirit, give you the power of what we need. Because we must be saved. Let me tell you something. It's a battle out there. And seeing the boldness of Kepha and Johanan, and perceive that they were unlearned and ordinary men. That's me. Unlearned, ordinary men. But I know the name. Let me tell you, when I know the name, I got some foundation, I got some stability under my feet. I know the name. I know the proper name, the right name. They marvel and they recognize that they have been with Yeshua. You think they recognize? Can people tell you've been with Yeshua? Can people tell every day when out there we're visiting or whatever we're doing about us, can they tell that you look different? That you even though you breathe the same air, you're not speaking the same, you're walking different? They can tell you've been with Yeshua the Master? I sure hope so. They do see though, just so you know, they do see. They see a difference. They know by your speech, they know you. Because one of the little servant girl, when make them an aspersion, they just witnessed all this. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they consulted with one another, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that an outstanding miracle has been done through them is apparent to all those dwelling in Jerusalem. And we are unable to deny it. We can't deny it. We can't deny it anymore here. At least I hope not. We shouldn't be able to. As much as, if the door is shut today, we got enough right here that he graced us with. But in order that it spread no further among the people, let us strongly threaten them to speak no more anyone in this name. Like I said, this could come to our hometown. You could be threatened by that. What do we do? And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Yeshua. Well, I tell you what. They try to come to another here. They're going to start a mob here. I tell you. Oh, boy. Hello. It's impossible anymore. But Kepha and Yohanan answered them, whether it is right in the sight of Elohim to listen to you more than to Elohim, you judge. For it is what? Impossible. Here we go. For us not to speak of what we saw and heard.
Impossible.
But it's impossible for us to turn back. Not to turn back. To not speak the name. It's impossible not to testify when you're out there. It's impossible to. It's impossible. And having threatened them further, the threats are coming. You can better believe they're coming. We're gonna get them. You're not gonna be. I promise you won't be like. It's okay. When you think we're crazy, it's okay. And having threatened them further, they released them, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, because of they were all praising Elohim for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, whom this miracle of healing had been done. And having been released, they went to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders said to them. And having heard that, they lifted up their voice to Elohim with one mind and said, Jehovah, you are Elohim, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant that we have said, why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? And you know what that? You're going to make enemies, and you're not going to be always like them. The sovereign of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against. Who did I got against? They're not against you. Against Jehovah and against his Messiah. You think they're going to win? For truly, in this city, they were gathered together against your set-apart servant, Yeshua, whom you anointed. Both Herodias and Pontius Pilate, whom with the nation and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose decided before to be done. And now, Jehovah, look on their threats and give to your servants all boldness to speak your word. That's what we need. We need boldness to speak his word. To speak what? His name. Because his name is his word. I mean, you pull his name out of it, the Bible is nothing. His name is, that's why when we say we created his likeness and in his image, your bone structure, your frame, when you see yourself in the mirror, you're a son or a daughter. And when they had prayed, the place where they came together was shaken. And they were all filled with the set-apart spirit, and they spoke the word of Elohim with boldness. I might as well just finish reading. There's just a few more verses, and I'm going to get ready. So when we go back to, I'll just finish reading. And a group of those who believed were of one heart and one being, and no one claimed that any of his possession was his own. But they all had in common. And with great power, the emissaries gave witness to the resurrection of the Master Yeshua, and great favor was upon them all. For there was not anyone needy among them, for all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the price of what was sold. And they laid at the feet of the emissary, and they distributed to each as anyone. voice was said to them, Men of Yehudah, and all those dwelling in Jerusalem, let it be known to you, and listen closely to my word. These men are not drunk as you imagine, so it's only the third hour of the day. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall be the last day, says Elohim, that I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your son and your daughter shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. And also on my male servant and on my female servant I shall pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I shall show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall turn into darkness, and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and splendid day of Jehovah. And key verse. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Yehovah shall be saved. Call on Yehovah. We have to use both names. And in these last days, Yeshua's mission when he was here, he pointed toward the Father. He wanted you to know the Father, who he was, and know his name. So this is why this verse is in here. Call upon his name. Then why? Well, he just read a little while, there's no other name under the heaven. We can't be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Yeshua of Nazareth, a man from Elohim, having been pointed out to you by mighty works and wonders and signs which Elohim did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know, this one, given up by the set purpose and foreknowledge of Elohim, you have impaled and put to death through the hand of lawless men. We learned about lawless men. Him, Elohim raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was what? Impossible that he could be held in his grip. I wanted to break that down. I said, well, we know what impossible is. Let me skip on down. Verse 34. For now we did not ascend into the heaven, but he himself said, Jehovah said to my master, sit at my right hand, until I make your enemy a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that Elohim has made this Yeshua, whom you impaled, both master and Messiah. And having heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and said to Kepha and to the rest of the emissaries, Men and brothers, what shall we do? And Kepha said to them, Repent! Sometimes we gotta, even though we're saved, sometimes we might have to go back and repent of something.
Yeah.
Repent of past sins, something that we haven't really repented of. And let each one of you be immersed in the name of Yeshua. For the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the set apart spirit. For now, let me finish now. For it's not only for you, for the promise to you and to your children. You think my children need it?
Hallelujah.
My children are away in the Carolinas over there. They need this. And to all those who are far off, and as many as Jehovah, all he shall call. And with many other words, he earnestly witnessed and urged them, saying, be saved from this crooked generation. Let me tell you something. This generation is crooked.
It is crooked.
When you see a lot of lawless acts being performed, ain't nothing being done about it, let me tell you something. The world we live in. I think that one closed. This is my last one. In Philippians 2:1, if then there is any encouragement in Messiah, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, one in being and of purpose, doing none at all through selfishness or self-conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. When I put this in here a while back, I was like, man, I don't want to miss tonight. I got to get this out. Because this was just welling up in me. You know how, if you really know how bad I wanted to be here, it was that bad. For each one should look out not only for his own interests, for also for the interests of others. It's not just about me here. It's about back, you got my back. You wash my hand, I wash your hand. And that's how we should be. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua. The one who ate bread, the one who dipped with him. Remember? He still cared about him. Even though he was about to betray him. He knew that. He still washed his feet. Still wanted to be a part of him. He followed him everywhere. Until the end. So you think how much more we should be knit, that much knit together as family. Now he's given an outside family who we really don't know, but we learn him. But they are family. Different race, different color, different texture.
Yeah.
Different song, different way we say things. Our dialect might be a little different, but you know what? Together. You know what y'all looking at? In here. He's not looking at the statue. He's looking at all that. He's looking in here. I was so glad. Let me tell you, I was off last week to go take that ride up there and be a part of that ministry to help work the cabins. I loved it. I really enjoyed it.
Amen.
Let me tell you, this is what we should do for others, interests of others. You think our master did this?
Yeah.
Who being a form of Elohim did not regard equality with Elohim a matter to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, and came to be in the likeness of men, and having found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, death even of a stake. Elohim, called him, therefore had highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow, of those in the heaven, and those on the earth, and those under the earth. Let me know that's the people under the earth.
Yeah, under the earth, yeah.
And every tongue shall confess that Yeshua Messiah is master to the esteem of Elohim the Father.
Amen.
That's a, you want to know how important his name is? What you're representing? Go back and read these scriptures. That's why I put them in there. So you'll see how important his name is. That we represent. We're just not part of this faith temple. You're part of his name. You're part of his DNA. You're much more than just saying you're part of his organization. It's much more than that. And now you're gonna be representing Goshen Land over there, which is how big is that gonna be? How big is that name gonna be there for? Because trust me, we ain't built by our name. If Babylon's way gonna be to give him credit for my name, you better find another spot. My name's on Mount Hill of Beans. His name does.
Yeah.
His name, you can build on his name. Amen.
His name.
Well, that's way more, much more. When you're dealing with the Hebrew Bible, Yeshua, dealing with the name. My prayer is, that we all grasp it. Take time, go back and relook at that Shemot with name, because name really matters. Your name matters to him, and matters to me, and should matter to everyone. Amen. Father, you